are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? And does that cross seem heavy you've been called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you a wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. So count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Well, we're going to see some of those blessings this morning. Shall we turn to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel? John 10, we will begin with verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is yet another message on God is greater. And today our subject is security. Verse 29, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He is greater than all. That is a general statement. It is also an all-inclusive statement. But as we noted, Jesus is very specific here in how God is greater, and that is that no man can pluck believers out of the Father's hand. This is what we would emphasize in the message today. These things are true directly because we are in the Father's hand. There is nothing, no one greater than He. This morning I want to see three major advantages or three glorious benefits. Three applications, as we say, of our place in the Father's hand. Things that are true in our lives be directly because we are in my Father's hand. The first one is, as we see here, eternal life. Verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. Notice further, they shall never perish. Then Jesus adds, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then in verse 29, my Father gave them to me. He is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is a reference again to eternal life, the hated term by some of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. But it is true because we are in the hand of the Father, and there is no one great enough to pluck us out of His hand. No one can change that glorious truth. It is important to understand here, verse 30, I and my Father are one. It means not that they are one person. We know the Father's in heaven. Jesus was on earth. Jesus gave His life there on Calvary while the Father still is in heaven. They are one in purpose. They are one in dedication. They are one as to the results. They are one in anything that they are allied with. They are one. There is no disharmony between them whatsoever. And the subject here, we are combined in your security. We are combined in your safety. And no one is going to break that bond. The Apostle Paul lists this same message in Colossians 3:3 when he said, your life is hid with Christ in God. Once again, this double security, this double hiding that we're talking about here. No man is able to pluck them out. Paul listed that same message in Romans 8:35. He said this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he lists 17 specific points of opposition, which some might think would interfere with love of God and the security that we have in Christ. But after that list of 17, he gives us this conclusion. No one shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And again, this united effort, this love of God, there is nothing stronger. This is what holds us in His matchless hand. Then I love the way that Isaiah also alludes to the, makes mention of the hand in regard to this. He preaches the same message. Isaiah 49:15 says it this way, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee. It means He has engraved thee. Where? In the palms of my hands. And so we are literally engraved in the palms of God's hands. That tells us of permanency. Cannot be removed, cannot be revoked, cannot be plucked out, even as John has already told us. None is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then, as we read here in John, my Father is greater than all. and none can pluck them out because of that. God is greater than all. Again, it is all inclusive. We had a message previous that God is greater than he that is in the world. As we discovered in that message, one of those in the world is Satan himself. And so we find out God is greater than Satan who is in this world. This becomes very important here with our present subject of security. We've already established that we are engraved in the very hand of God. But there has been a controversy over the years. That controversy is this. Can a believer be demon-possessed? There are some Christians that believe and teach that a believer can be demon-possessed, but let us notice exactly what the Scripture says. We follow exactly the same principle as we have seen this morning. God is greater than all. My Father is greater than all. None is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, says this in verses 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. The price is the precious blood of Jesus. The fact is, you are not your own. God owns us. We are, every believer is the purchased possession of God. He owns us because he has paid the supreme price for us. With that thought in mind, let us turn to the 12th chapter of Matthew. Can a believer be demon-possessed? We have already seen that we are the very property. We are the very possession of God. Verse 25, Matthew 12. Let's read verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils or demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. It is easy to see the context of this portion of Scripture. Jesus cast out demons many, many times in his walk among men. And so he has done. The Pharisees here cannot deny the truth of that. So they just try to explain it away. This is one of the favorite tactics of the enemy. He cannot deny the truth that is there right before their eyes, so you just explain it away. And the way they explain it away, well, he did it all right, but he did it by the power of Satan. And as we noted here, Jesus said, that is impossible. Satan would be divided against himself. And then as we had here in this verse 28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is among you. Verse 29. This is the verse we must get hold of in our own experience. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? This verse applies both to God and to Satan. Jesus has already applied it to Satan himself, because Satan would be the strong man. Satan owned the house of this demon-possessed person. Satan was over all. He was the one who had absolute control. But what did Jesus do? By the very Spirit of God, it was Jesus who entered in, and he bound the strong man. Now, we know from Scripture that Jesus did not bind Satan, so to speak, until the cross. Even now, we have had messages before, Satan is not actually bound now, but the provision of the cross is so real that we enjoy the benefits of it right now. We need not be controlled. We need not be dominated by Satan and his host, because he is a defeated foe from the cross. One day that will become a literal reality, but right now we lay hold of the victory by faith, just like Jesus did. And so he was able to bind the strong man and conquer his house or spoil his house. Now, apply this same verse where God would own the house and God would be the strong man. We've already found from 1 Corinthians 6, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are not your own. This is God's house. This is God's possession. Let us put that verse in context. Paul was writing to the Corinthians. They were steeped in carnality. They were as fleshly and worldly as you can get. And yet God still says, this is my house. No matter your conduct, this is my house. And no man is going to pluck you out of my hand. And so it is. When you apply the truth of this verse, you cannot spoil that house unless you first bind the strong man. If God is the strong man, I guarantee you it's impossible. And so we can say conclusively that no, a believer cannot be demon possessed. God will not surrender that house to him. Satan would have to bind the strong man, and it cannot be done. God is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hand. So where does Satan fit in? We've already said he's a completed foe, but I'll tell you, he did not lay down, crawl in a hole, and forget about the whole matter. He is still very much active. He is still very much the God of this world. But let us remember, as we saw in a previous message, God is greater than he that is in the world. There's another beautiful verse that comes to mind. I think it's Psalm 35. It says, my times are in your hand. Let us remember, as those walking in this world today, yes, Satan is walking about. Revelation 12 tells us he is the accuser of the brethren. And if you read that text, he is accusing us to God. We also read, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is out there. He is trying. But let us still remember this one thing. As an individual, claim the place for our own, I am in the palm of his hand. It means that Satan can go no further than God allows him to go. God is still the master. He is still the possessor of the house. It is God who will determine what happens concerning this house, so to speak. And so let us understand once again, regardless of the difficulty brought on by Satan and his host, none shall pluck me out of my Father's hand. God, being the master that he is, allows Satan to go along certain lines. He allows Satan to fulfill his desire to a certain extent. God let down the hedge of Job. He had a hedge of protection about him that Satan could not penetrate. But he let that down. Let us understand, it's still God that made the decision. It was not Satan that came in and overpowered God and forced him to do anything, because that ain't going to happen. God is greater. And so he had to ask for permission to bring his evil deeds and intentions against Job. And God granted it. God is still greater, and he is the one of control. But Satan had to abide by all of God's boundaries. If you think that Job was the last one that Satan came to God and requested to have, then I hope you're not that naive, because that conversation has taken place multiple times down through the ages. And at one time or another, you and I have probably been the subject. But let us remember, we are still in the very palm of God's hand. And God is the one who is making the decision. Paul found that out when a messenger of Satan was sent to him. He called it his thorn in the flesh, and Paul said, 3 times remove it. God didn't answer that request. That means that Satan kept right on tormenting him the way he wanted to. But Paul did receive victory. My grace is sufficient for you. And again, was Satan able to devour him? Not in the least. Jesus himself is an example of this same glorious truth. He was trying to devour Jesus when he was a man walking among us, and he tested him to the limit there in the wilderness. But he did not overcome him. And the greatest thing that we have is that Satan was even allowed to kill him. He was allowed to deliver him to the cross. But you see, he never did devour him. God used that opportunity to deal Satan the greatest blow he has ever received, and that is, Jesus took away the greatest weapon, death, that Satan ever had. Now then, he really can't use that against us or anybody else. Not the believer. God counteracted. God is greater than he that is in the world. And so let us understand, the conclusion of all of this is Satan will be allowed, has been allowed, continues to oppress the people of God. He can bring great pressure against them. He can torment them. He can accuse them. But never, ever, ever is he allowed to possess them, because you would have to bind the strong man in order to accomplish that. none can pluck them out of my Father's hand, meaning that God always has the control where our lives are concerned. This brings us to the third beautiful application and benefit of being in the Father's hand. Let us turn to Psalm 95. We are in the hand of the Father. It is a wonderful place to be. It is can be a very comfortable place to be. Sometimes people just, well, I'm saved. That's it. Fine. I know I'm safe, secure forever. Those are wonderful blessings that can't be taken away from us. But there are more blessings in the hand of God than that. Psalm 95. I want to notice here that we see the same patterns clearly evidenced, same pattern here that is manifested in John 10, verse 3. For the Lord is, guess what? The Lord is a great God. And a great king above all gods. God is greater than all. Verse 7. He is our God. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're the people of his pasture. And the sheep of his hand. We are still in the hand of God. I want to notice that verse 8 is an exhortation for all that are in the hand of God. All men do not heed this exhortation. This is why I say that everyone does not enjoy the fullness of the blessing that there is in the hand of God. We're already there, but people simply do not reach out and appropriate what God has for them. And notice what it is. Verse 8. Harden not your, well, back up to the latter part of verse 7. We are the sheep of his hand today, if you will hear his voice. Jesus said the same thing in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I want to notice this morning the key to the fullness of God's blessing. We are in his hand is simply to listen to his word. And he gives the warning. Verse 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. This is a record back to the time that Israel as a nation, they're the people of God, they're the sheep of his pasture, they're in his hand. All of these things, they came up to the very boundary of the land of Canaan. They sent in the spies. When the spies came back, they reported a wonderful land. It flows with milk and honey, just like God said. But we can't go in because the enemies are too great. This is what he's talking about. They let their unbelief deprive them of the greatest and the choicest blessings of God. This is still happening in our day. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And yet, men are not appropriating them, first because they won't listen, and then finally, if they do hear, they do not step out and lay hold of them by faith. You can take down this scripture reference. Deuteronomy 33:3 says it this way. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints, once again, are in thy hand. But notice, they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. That's the pattern that God intends for us. Yes, we are in his hand, but we are to indeed sit down. Find our place of rest at his feet exactly like Mary did. sat at his feet and learned of him, and everyone shall see or shall receive of thy words. This is the same path once again for those who are in his hand today, and there's no substitute for it. Hearken, as we find here, unto my voice. Harden, verse 8, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation. Said it's a people that do err in their heart. They've not known my ways. Verse 11, unto whom I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Does it mean they shall not enter into the life that they already have? Eternal life. Never perish. The rest he's talking about is all of the promises of God that are in this wonderful land that flows with milk and honey. Israel could not enjoy that rest simply because they did not listen. They did not heed the word of God. Again, our rest. It's summed up in Ephesians 1:3. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, but it is throughout the word of God, throughout Paul's gospel, he lays out those wonderful promises. And the only thing we have to do is simply to believe what God has said. So this morning, it is imperative that we appropriate all of the glorious benefits, all that we have seen this morning, appropriate all of that directly because we are in his hand. And greater, God is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let's believe it and enjoy it today.